Yud Beis Adar Sheni, Tuesday the 22nd of March, Rabbi Moshe Hershkovitz. Your Shabbos is my business.
I want to thank Dr. Itzkowitz and everybody else for the Torah to give me this opportunity to speak here today. You know, to start your way, the Torah way, is very choshev inyan, which I think shouldn't be underestimated. I used to live in yeshiva in Tells, Cleveland, and the Rosh Yeshiva was Reb Chaim Stein, who was a great Rosh Yeshiva. And he used to tell every chassid in yeshiva that when they got married, that they have to be mekabel themselves to learn every single day, half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour, whatever it was. But to mekabel every single day to learn. He held it so choshev that he wrote his tzavah, which is written on the side of his cave actually, that if you taka would accept upon yourself to learn half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour every day, he'll be made at tiyesha for you. He wrote it on the side of his cave, it's a meridik choshev azech. So I was thinking, this meridik choshev azech could be connected to everybody's favorite yom tov, which in a few days is Purim. You know, everybody's favorite yom tov is Purim. Everybody has a good time, from the kids to the adults and everyone in between. And what happened? So what happened was Haman and Achashverosh got together and they made this gezeirah, the hashmid la'arig la'abedus kol ha'yudim, yom echad. Everybody, everywhere. Achashverosh was the king of 127 medinas, mihoydeh v'ad kush. So there's two pshatim what means hoydeh v'ad kush. One pshat is, there are two places very distant. One was one end of the world and one was the other end of the world. There's another pshat that Hoyda and Kush were right next to each other. So what was Hoyda about Kush? The same way he ruled over two big places which were right next to each other. And that's not so hard. That's the same way he ruled over the whole world. So Kinnereh, it looked like that he had this ability to actually do what he wanted to do. And that is to destroy all the Yidden in one day. And what happened? So Mordechai and the Yidden, they did tshuva on the avera which they had. They davened, and the gezeirah was batel. And it wasn't just batel; it became v'navichu. That the Yidden got the chance, I don't know if there's another chance in Jewish history, something like this, to go and kill all the goyim who are bothering us. Halavai, sometime soon we should get the chance again. And we have a Yom Tov to celebrate that, with Matan Zev Yoyim, and Mishlach Manos, and Kriyas Megillah, and everything else. However, at the time then, something else also happened. And that was that the Yidden saw the Hashkacha Pratis in the story, they saw the Ness, and they came to Madregov, what's called Hadoki Blu Bimei Achashverosh. They re-accepted the Torah in the times of Achashverosh. And they did it better than the first time round. The first time round was Kofalem Harkagigis. They did it Meira. The second time round, they did it Meava. Rabbi Akiva was once giving a shiur. And some people, it seems, were dozing off. I don't think yet, I think everyone's still awake, right? And he wanted to wake them up. So he said the following, he wanted to say something interesting to wake them up. He said, why was it that Esther got to rule over 127 Medinas? So he says, because Sari Menu lived 127 years. So on the outside, you think it's random. 127 here, 127 over there. It's very nice, but what's the connection? So the Chidush Rim explains, I remember Reb Chaim Kaufman said it over, he said that Avram and Sarah were boyim by Yomim. And Rashi explains that, what does it mean boyim by Yomim? That their lives were full. When she lived 127 years, it was 127 full years of Teira, Yerushalayim, Avodas Hashem, and everything else. So if you do the math, it goes something like this. 127 years of Avodas Hashem, what did she get? 127 Medinas, that's one per year. So if you divide that up, a month is probably like a county, like, you know, an area. And a week would be a city. A day would be a street, or shchuna. And an hour would be a street. And every minute is another house. Another, you know. So the Kiva is saying, if you take a look, what Esther got, the schus, her grandmother, 127 Medinas, every minute and every hour, is houses and streets and medinas and everything else. So what happened over here by the Nes Purim? The Yidden looked around, they saw this amazing Hashgacha, Rashi brings down, and they were thinking, what could they do to the Kaviyachal pay back to Rebbeinu a little bit? So they said, what's the best thing? The best thing is the Torah. So they re-accept the Torah, Me'ava b'Me'ach HaShverish. And when everybody here comes together every single day, Me'ava, with a Cheshek and a Geshmak, to learn for half an hour, 5 minutes share before and a share afterwards, and everything else that comes together with it. So you're getting streets and houses and everything else. It's a gewaldige, gewaldige Zach. So as we said, this share we titled, Your Shabbos is My Business. So what I'd like to say over is basically a few real life shaylos, which my wife having a stall basically happened to us. And I'll tell you the way I approach them. You could think I'm an extremist maybe or something else. And as they say, you know, when everyone writes these svarim today, they write, these svarim are halacha, but lo lemaisa. You know, you've got to ask your own shaylos. At the end of the day, a lot of different things can make a difference to a shayla. The people involved can make a difference, the place, the time, the situation. So this is just to think about it. So we had a shayla like this. One way to Shabbos, I remember I switched on the computer, I checked the email and I saw that I had an email from some supplier in the US. I'm living in Yerushalayim. And he had made up an order for me and he's got to send it to me, whatever it was. But I looked at the email, and you know, and today on the email you could see everything, what he did and when and everything else. And it looked like he had done it on Friday night. This fellow was Jewish. He wasn't religious, but he was Jewish. So I didn't really like it that someone who I knew was a Yid, and he was dealing with Yidden all the time, not just me, was going to go and make up my order on Shabbos. Just didn't make me feel very comfortable. So I wrote to him, and I confirmed actually with him that he actually did do it on Friday night, unfortunately. And I explained to him, you know, if you could do me a personal favor, and in the future, at least my order, don't make it on Shabbos. If you have to delay it till after Shabbos, tough luck. But, you know, don't do it on Shabbos. However, the question is like this, you know, it's very nice to be frum and tell the other guy and everything else, but maybe if I want to do kirov, I can get a job in a shul somewhere. And if you want to do business, you know, keep it separate. Don't mix the two. That's probably what a lot of guys are thinking, you know. He's not religious, that's his problem, not mine. Let's just get done what has to be done, and you know. So what really should I have done, or not have done? Maybe. So like this, it says in the Pasuk like this. It says in the Pasuk, Leisisna zachicha bevovecha, don't hate your brother in your heart. Heichiach techiach esam yisecha, you should rebuke him if you have to. Leisisna zachicha, however, you shouldn't get an aveir because of it. So Rashi explains, on the words, don't embarrass him. You know, if you want to tell him something, don't go and scream at him. You know, whatever it may be, you know, that's not the way to give teichacha. And it's not going to gain anybody out of it anyway. The Ramban actually explains that's actually much worse than that. He says if you don't give him teichacha, then you have a chelek in his aveira. If you gave him teichacha, then at least he did your part. But if you didn't, then you have a chelek in his aveira. So, how many times would you have this chiyuv to give teichacha? So the Gemara in Erchin brings down, now if he wasn't mekabel, do it again, and how far, and how many times. So there's machlokes in the Gemara, until he hits you, until he curses you, or something else like that. But you do have a chiyuv to give him teichacha. However, what happens if you know that he's not going to listen to you? He'll tell you, mind your own business, let's not mix business with religion, or whatever the situation may be. Mind your own business and leave me alone. And it seems from the Gemara that this is not a modern day shayla from today, when everybody has issues and, you know. The Gemara has a shayla that who, in the times of the Tanoim, would be able to give teichacha and be listened to. And it seems there wasn't that many people who they could choose from. So there's a Gemara in Yevamos which says like this, the same way as a person has a chiv to tell somebody something when he'll listen to him, kach mitzvah al adam shaleilima dovah she'ina nishma. He has a chiyuv not to say if he knows that he's not going to be listened to. The same way as he has a chiyuv to give teichach, the pasuk says teichach teichach. That if you're going to be listened to, but you have a chiyuv not to say if you're not going to be listened to. And a baba ime chiva al teichach lets peni yisnaecha. Don't give teichach to a lets because maybe he'll hate you. Teichach lechacham yeah, give teichach to a chacham, and he'll like you for it. Rashi brings down because for the pasuk teichach teichach. Lo hechiach mi shemekabel imenu. To give techacha to somebody who will accept it. So what about someone who's not religious or even if he is, but he's not the type of guy who's going to be listening to anybody else. So I remember once I was in the airport a few months ago, and the flight was delayed, and I was standing in line trying to sort things out. And I was talking to a fellow, and he wasn't very, you know, he wasn't the type of fellow who... He actually hated religious people, which I don't normally come across. That, you know, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but to actually say it straight out, I don't normally come across such people. But when I talked to him a little bit more, it seems what happened was, it sounded like, I'm not sure, but it sounded like he used to be a vision at Tzachasid or something like that. And for some reason, he decided not to stay that way. And therefore, he hated anything to do with religion. So someone like him is definitely going to fit into this category of someone... The kashem shemitzvah al adam leima dava nishma, by him for sure, it's kach mitzvah al adam shleilam dava sheina nishma. Not for sure. However, if you have a way that maybe you could approach this guy in a nice way and say something nice to him and explain to him, you know, whatever it is, that at least don't make my orders on Shabbos or, you know, explain to him the concept, then there would be a chiv. You know, so basically there'll be like three different cases. There'll be a case if you know that he can listen to you, and then you will have a chiyuv to tell him. There'll be a case that you know that he's definitely not going to listen to you, and then you've got a chiyuv not to tell him. And then you've got the case that you don't know. So there's a Gemara which seems to say that the Rebbeinu Shem knew about certain people they're not going to listen. And so there'll be no chiyuv techacha, and the Malachim tie it back to him, what do you mean? Just because you know, how do they know? And it seems that was a winning taina, which means that if you don't know the fellow's going to listen to it or not, then you will have a chiv to go and tell him, try and tell him something. Obviously in a nice way, in a private way, you know, not to embarrass him or anything like that. But there will be a chiv. You know, with regard to not saying, there's a famous story, probably some of you heard it before, there's this chassidus Rebbe, who one night he went with his gabba and he went to visit one of his chassidim. Now normally the chassidim visit the Rebbe doesn't visit the chassidim. So you can imagine the shock of this person. One night, there was a knock on the door, and the Rebbe and his gabbai was there. He got a shock of his life, so he invited him inside, and he offered him something to drink. And the Rebbe just sat there and didn't say anything. For 15 minutes, however long it was. And you're sitting there, and he tried asking the gabbai, what does the Rebbe want? The gabbai said, I don't know. And then after 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was, he got up and he said, I wish you a good night. So he said, Rebbe, what do you come for? So he said, look, the Gemara says, the Kshem is a mitzvah to tell someone something with Dovah Nishma. There's also a mitzvah not to say. But I can't do that in my house. I came here to do that. I know I've got something to tell you, but I know you're not going to listen. So therefore, I came here not to tell you. So you can imagine, you know, up to the challenge. He said, Rebbe, please tell me, I'm going to try, and I'll try, you know, tell me, and at least give me the chance. So he said, I know you're not going to listen. I know my chassidim. And I'm telling you, you're not going to listen. So he begged and he pleaded with him until finally the Rebbe said, I'll tell you. You know, you are the manager of a bank. And one of your clients is a lady who's an almana. And she can't keep up the payments of her mortgage on the house. And another few days or a few weeks, they're going to be throwing her out. So please do something and save the situation. So he said, but Rebbe, you don't understand. I'm just the manager of the bank. I don't own the bank. I can't write her off. So the Rebbe said, I knew you wouldn't be able to do anything. Why did you ruin my mitzvah? And he left the house. And as he walked out, the gabba gave him the details of this lady, whoever it was. But the Rebbe was a smart Rebbe, and he got a message a few days later that this bank manager paid it off himself. So he knew how not to say it in order that to make the guy listen. However, in this case, there might be something else as well. And that is, at the end of the day, there's another Yid over here who's doing a Maisa on Shabbos for me. And if someone does a Maisa Shabbos, the Mezid, then the Shulchan Aruch passes that it's also Leila Eilam. So what would be the case over here? So actually, in this case, it will be a little bit easier. The Shulchan Aruch actually passes in Shin Yod Ches by Hilchos Bishul. Hamavashul b'Shabbos, someone cooks on Shabbos, or one of the other Malachas, not Avdafka Bishul, the Mezid. So also Leila Eilam, for him it's also forever. But Lachelim, Mutter Lomaiti Shabbos, Miyat. For other people, be Mutter, since he's a Yid, it'll be Mutter Lomaiti Shabbos straight away. And the Brishna Guru brings down that even in a case, Vafidu Lami Shinispashu B'Shvilay. And normally in a case, Lami Shinispashu B'Shvilay, Lavdafka, would that be the case? But he bet the Brishna Guru paskins that in such a case, it will be Mutter for him. And in this case, it'll actually be a little bit easier. It comes out from the Bialach and who brings down the Chay Adam. So since there's no physical change in the product, he's not making the product for me, he's just taking it off the shelf, putting it in the box, and sending it on to me. He's not making any physical change in the product. So then it'll be a little bit easier. So that was one child. Any questions? Okay. So let's go on. So we had another one like this. And I was making an order from a country called Turkey. And I knew the way it would work would go like this. I make the final payment. If I make the, it came out that I would be making it on a Wednesday. So if I'd be making it on a Wednesday, the guys, I'd send the transfer, and they'll see it on Thursday. They see it on Thursday, they'll send it on Friday. They send it on Friday. It'll arrive in Eretz Yisrael and Ben-Gurion Airport on Shabbos. Now most people who work in the airport, you'll be happy to know are Jewish, and not from our, not so, you know, the cousins that we don't have too much. And that which would mean that there'll be Yidden working on Shabbos, taking my order off the plane, and taking it to wherever they take it to, until I release it a few days later. So, do I have any chiyuv to stop this from happening? Now, to cut the long story short, I wrote to them, please do me a favor, send it on Sunday, and therefore I won't have this problem. But, if you don't want to think about it... It's a Suffolk, that's one thing. It's a Suffolk, it's a chance. Let's say it's a 50% chance. It's normal if you pay on Wednesday, they see it on Thursday. It's normal if they see it on Thursday. They'll send it on Friday. It's normal if they send it on Friday, they'll arrive on Shabbos.
You're not
supposed to be a Sfax faker.
You're going to arrive.
Right, but I know from previous orders approximately how it works.
It doesn't mean you didn't. You're not forcing them to do it on Shabbos.
Correct. I'm not forcing them to do anything on Shabbos, but I know the chances are. But I know from previous experience that there's a decent chance, I would say 50%, that if I pay on Wednesday, it will arrive on Shabbos. Api derech hateva, the way normal things work. So do I have any chiyuv to try and make sure it doesn't happen? Or maybe I don't. And like you said, it's a self, it's a sfex faker. Who says they'll see it on Thursday? And even if they see it on Thursday, who says they'll send it straight away? The shipping company will send it on Friday. And even if the shipping company sends it on Friday, who says they'll have room on the plane and they'll prioritize it and we'll get it on Shabbos? You're right, it's plenty. But a pidera chateva, if you look at the previous experience when you send orders, it's very possible it will arrive on Shabbos. And it's very possible it will arrive on Shabbos. Do I have the guy who's paying and arranging and basically putting these things into effect that's going to happen? Do I have any chiyuv to try and avoid that? So the pasuk says like this:
the guy
may go
Jewish or not, because even
a goy
can't do anything for you on Shabbos.
Right, but if it's a goy and I'm not telling him to do on Shabbos and he has the ability to do it after Shabbos or a different time, that's something else. He's doing it for himself. I shouldn't have to work later. Or actually, it might be maybe it is a problem because he has to work on Shabbos and get off the plane then. But let's just address the shayla like this. Lifnei Iver Sita Mishal. So Rashi explains what does it mean for Lifnei Iver in front of a blind person? Don't put a stumbling block. Leisitein Eitzah Shehena Agenesle. Don't give him an Eitzah which is not suitable. Don't tell him sell his field and buy a chameh, and then you want the field, so you'll get the field, and here you will have a chameh which will die in a few years' time. The Gemara in Pesachim brings this down, and he says, from where do we know that you're not allowed to give a kais yayin to a nazir, or eva menachai to a ben noach, which is anybody? They bring down the positive belief in evil eisid and mishal, which will mean that causing somebody else to do an avera will be included in lifnei iver. So in this case, when I know it is a very good chance that it will happen on Shabbos, even though it's a Svek Sveka, but I know Al Pi Derech HaTeva there's a good chance it's going to happen. I spoke to Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz and I spoke to Rav Neventzal. Rav Neventzal, anybody know who he is?
Yeah.
Rav Neventzal is the Rav of the Old City in Yerushalayim. Yeah, he's not the Rav of the Kaisel, that's someone else. He's the Rav of the Old City in Yerushalayim, who's learned with Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Chavrusa, for 35 years. So you can imagine if Rav Shlomo Zalman's Chavrusa for 35 years, he really knows it. And I like to go to him for shaydas every so often. So I went into him and I asked him this shayda, and he said, Avadi, you should try and make sure it shouldn't happen. So I said to him, what about like this? I'll tell them, send it on Friday or on Shabbos, and then it will never arrive on Shabbos, or arrive on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, whenever it is. But there's a mirror of the guy. I'm telling the guy to do work for me on Shabbos. So then he told me, Sheval Tasa, if you have that problem, then don't do anything. And just whatever's going to happen will happen. That's what he told me. However, this shayla of Lifna Iver could be really applied to a lot of different cases. For example, if you have a friend who's Jewish but not religious, could you take him out to a hotel for a drink for a business meeting? If you take him out for the drink, you're ordering the drinks, and he's not going to make a bracha, because he's not religious yet. And the Shulchan Aruch brings down, Layitin le'echel ela lemi sheyodeh levarech. You're not allowed to give someone to eat unless he knows how to make a bracha. So I remember once I was in some place, a schnitzel sandwich place, and there was a fellow walked in without a yarmulke. You know, in Australia you can do these things. And he bought a sandwich like I did. So I told him, Taseh bracha, make a bracha. And he must have thought I'm a little crazy. And he actually agreed. I think he even did it in Sudan. And he went and made a bracha. At the end I told him, you know, you already made a bracha, make birchas mazon as well, because if it's mazon, it's deraisa. So, yeah, so tefastim really. So you say, the birchas mazon, if you want, you'll make it for me, but that's too much. So taka, anyway, it's brave on Hajjus Melech. I made birchas mazon, you know, I benched birchas mazon out loud, and he said, Amen, I'm perfectly fine. And I've tried it a few, I run a camp in this summer, I remember this past summer, so we went up to a place called Khadira, with all the boys, there's a ropes place there. And afterwards we had a barbecue in the same place that we, you know, it was 9 o'clock at night. And the boys who worked in this place came out. So I thought, we'll give them a hot dog, you know, whatever it is. But they have to make a bracha. So I said to them, Taseh bracha. And most of them knew how to make a bracha. There was one guy, he had no idea how to make a bracha. You know, if you live in Israel, you know, you go to a Jewish school, you eat kosher at some level. Most people anyway, right? Most people know how to make a bracha. They go, bracha tashem, whatever it is, right? And they say it right, they don't say it, but they know how to make a bracha. This guy was clueless. So his friend just said, you know, they put on him a yarmulke, they managed to make him to make a bracha. Okay, that was fine. But even if someone has a pizza store or a bakery, and people are buying from there, it might be a problem, I don't know. I'm not passing anything, like I said. But it might be a problem serving people, and you know they're not going to make a bracha. So what do you do? So I once heard, I didn't check this out, to be honest. What you could do maybe is, they put a, like by the mezonos, they'll write mezonos, by the hametzi, they'll write hametzi. So you're telling them at least what bracha to make. If they choose not to make a bracha, then it's already their problem. But at least you told them what the bracha is. So now if they choose to make or not to make a bracha, that's not your concern anymore. But all these things, you have to ask a rav exactly. Yeah. What about a case like this? You have someone who's not religious, and he came to install in your house some plumbing, some heating, some air conditioner, whatever it is, and he's sitting and schwitzing away there for 5 hours, 6 hours straight. You're not going to give him a drink. It's a chil Hashem. What, you know, I can't give you tea because you're not going to make a bracha. Very nice, but at the end of the day, you're not giving him a drink, it's a chil Hashem. So what would be the case in such a case? So I believe Rav Shach, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav...
So if someone's very thirsty, then they don't have to make a bracha?
No, yeah, if for water, you have to make a bracha if you're thirsty. If you're not thirsty, and you don't want a drink, you just have it because of a tablet, then you don't make a bracha. So in such a case, Rav Moshe, it was Moshe, and they pass in the fifth case of Shulchan Aruch, common sense, and they say in such a case, it's a chil Hashem. And Avadi, you can go and give him something to drink or whatever he needs. There was another interesting case which I heard a few years ago, and I asked actually the minister of Neventzal. It's an interesting case. There was a fellow in Yerushalayim, and his parents-in-law, I think it was his parents-in-law, were not religious, they lived in America. And he was thinking of inviting them for Pesach. If they'll come to him for Pesach, they won't eat chametz. They'll eat kosher. They'll probably keep Shabbos or Yom Tov on some level. If they stay in America, no chametz for sure, treifas, they're not for them, they don't keep anything. However, there was one problem. If he would invite them to come for Pesach, they said, we'll come, but on one condition, we're going to be flying back on the last day Yom Tov, second day Yom Tov. So if they come because of him, they'll be the condition advances, they're going to be flying back on the second day Yom Tov. So he's causing them to fly back on the second day Yom Tov. At the same time, the advantage would be that they'll eat kosher. They won't eat chametz on Pesach. So what do? So I asked Rav Levinsohn, you know, the best time to go to the Kaisel actually is Shabbos morning nets. And after Shabbos morning nets, they have Kiddush in the house of Rav Levinsohn. And on the way back from the Kaisel to his house, everybody walks around him and asks him every kasha from around Shulchan Aruch and everything else, and he answers them on the spot. Besides once, actually, he didn't answer me. He said he has to look it up. When I asked someone else, he told me it's machlekas. But, so I asked Rav Levinsohn one Shabbos morning after nets on the way back, and he said, Avada, Avada, you can invite them. If you invite them, they'll be keeping all the derises. They won't be eating chametz, they'll be eating kasha, they'll be keeping Shabbos and Yom Tov possibly on some level, you know, because they'll respect the son and all. So Avada, you can invite them. Yom Tov Sheni is Rabbanan. And I mentioned this to someone else, he told me that if they'll be flying back and they'll only be landing after Yom Tov, they'll fly back on Yom Tov Sheni, but they'll only be landing after Yom Tov, then you have the Chacham Tzvi, who holds that anybody who comes to Eretz Yisrael, even if he lives the whole year in England, the weather is, but he comes to Eretz Yisrael for the whole of Pesach, he'll be keeping only one day Yom Tov. We don't pass him like that, normally, but at least you have the Chacham Tzvi. So how much more time do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Three.
Okay, so then we'll skip the next one. And we'll finish off with a story like this. So we call this Shia, your Shabbos is my business. I read a story a week ago about a whole group of people who went and made somebody else's Shabbos their business. Really nice story, and it only happened in Eretz Yisrael. There was a bus driver, I don't know his name, and on the outside he didn't look like he was too frum. And, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, I've come across these people before. I remember I once met someone in Tel Aviv, and he told me he keeps Shabbos, he wasn't wearing yarmulke, this is the work. But he told me that, I don't even know if he has to do this, but this is what he does. He told me he turns off his credit card machine on Friday, so therefore on Friday night at 12 o'clock, it seems every night at 12 o'clock it sends all the transactions to the main computer, in order that on Friday it shouldn't do anything at 12 o'clock at night, which is all automatic, I'm not sure if he has to do that. But he turns off his credit card machine on Friday, and he turns it back on Sunday morning, and at least his credit card machine is also Shema Shabbos. It's not a chamayu. It's not a chamayu that chamayu has to keep Shabbos. I don't know if he's mechayev to do that. But he wasn't wearing a yarmulke or anything like that. And he told me this is what he does, he keeps Shabbos. And not only that, he does this as well. So there's this bus driver who kept Shabbos, but he didn't look like it on the outside. And he had the last route to Bnei Brak from some place, maybe it was Kiryat Seif or somewhere else, on a Friday afternoon. And anybody who's been on the last bus on a Friday afternoon knows it's one of these Israeli stories. And you can imagine what it was like. 100 screaming kids, suitcases and buggies underneath, stuffed, like, you know, ungepacked. And he was making his way around, filling up the bus. And after his route, he was going to go drop off his bus by wherever the drop off the bus is, take his car and drive home. And he'll just about make it for Shabbos. He comes to the beginning of Bnei Brak, Tzomet Coca-Cola, as they call it, and he saw there was a pekak, there was a traffic jam, and there was no way in the world he's going to get home for Shabbos if he finishes off his route. There's just no way in the world. But he's a bus driver, this is his job, he hasn't got a choice. He called up his wife and he said, I'm sorry, darling, I wish you a good Shabbos, but there's no way I'm going to be home for Shabbos. I'll work it out on a park bench somewhere, I'm not sure where. But there's no way I'm going to get home for Shabbos. So I wish you a good Shabbos, and I wish you luck, and wish me luck, you know? I'm not sure what's going to be. So there was a fellow in the seat behind, and he overheard the telephone conversation, and he didn't take a video or anything like that, and try and get him. But he said to him, Yeshem Shabbos? He said, yeah. He said, do me a favor, pass me the Ramco, you know, that microphone. And this fellow, you know, and it's like I said, they don't need such a story. He took the microphone, and he said, Ramoy Rivera, what are you saying? Our bus driver is Shema Shabbos, and there's no way he's going to get home in time for Shabbos if he does the whole route through the whole Bnei Brak for the next hour, however long it takes to drop everybody off. So let us help him keep Shabbos and be home with his family for Shabbos, and let us all get off right now here at the beginning of Bnei Brak. And all of them, 100 kids, buggies, strollers, the works, they all got off that bus, And they let him go, and he actually managed to get home in time for Shabbos. Mikam Chay Yisrael. Thank you very much.